Good morning. Well, we got to hear that voice of truth, don't we? All right. So, how's everybody this morning? All right, I like that. Beautiful day, isn't it? I ran a race yesterday and didn't get my 30 miles in, but remember, when I run a race, I need grace, right? Hey, I just came up with that. I like that. When I run a race, you got to give me grace. Okay, let's see. What have we been talking about? Honoring authority, right? Boy, that's a big word, authority, isn't it? Everybody say authority. Because people get nervous when you talk about authority. And, you know, there's like somebody's going to try to control them, you know, because authority's been abused. But when we really get to an understanding of God's authority and really the way it works, boy, it just clears your vision. It just really clears things. And folks, that's what we need. That's what we need to grow in, is our understanding of authority and God's authority and the way He's established it. The Bible says that He's established all authority in Romans chapter 13. All authority has been established by God. So, if your boss is a rascal, hey, God put him there. It's not based on how he is or what. It's just God's seeing if you're going to submit to God through him. It says that we're to even obey the good and the gentle in 1 Peter 2:18, the good, the gentle, and the harsh. And that word harsh means tyrannical. It means unreasonable. It means just, unjust. It means perverse. It means corrupt. It means all those words. So if you got a boss like that, God says you're to submit to that boss. What do you think about that? See, that's God's authority. And this is the kingdom, see? And when we understand it, boy, it takes things off of us. And God says we're to honor them. Remember? Honor them. What's honor mean? Value, esteem highly, respect, to have a high and favorable regard for. So we're to have a high and favorable regard for this boss that's treating me terrible? Yes! It's not based on how he looks or what he says or what he does. It's based on you and your heart. What's coming out of your heart. And see, that's what's important, is what's coming out of your heart. Because that's where honor comes from. Honor just doesn't come from your lip service or what you say or what you do. Honor comes from your heart, right? And so honor is a heart condition. That's why Jesus said, these people worship me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Right? And the prophet Isaiah said, speaking about Jesus, he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So in other words, it's a heart condition. And so when you truly honor somebody, it changes things. For who? For you. See? It empowers you. Because it's a kingdom principle. It's a kingdom principle. And that's what we're out to do. We're advance the kingdom of God, right? Seek first the kingdom. And when we begin to operate and function in the kingdom principles, then it puts a protection and it puts a power and authority in our life. When we're under authority, we have authority. If you're not under authority and you're always resisting authority, you have no authority. You ever get around people, they always want to resist authority? See? They're always frustrated, they're always strifeful, and always on edge. That's because they're resisting what God has placed in order. You see that? That's why, like in a marriage, you know, you want to make sure your marriage is, you know, God has established the man over the woman spiritually, and not, they're equal. Right? They're equal. There's not one higher than the other, one greater. They're both equal, but God has put this in order, his kingdom, that the man is the spiritual head of the home. And when he's in Christ and she submits, who's it going to benefit? Her, right? And him. Even when he's not picking up his socks and not, you know, mowing the grass or whatever. Are you with me? You still honor, and folks, now listen, that brings power in your life. So that's why we got to understand this. It's not, well, people say, well, if I'm going to respect you, you got to earn it. Uh-uh. No, that's not the kingdom of God. That's the world's wisdom, right? That's the world's wisdom. The world's wisdom says you have to earn it. And we're not in the world's wisdom. We're in God's wisdom. And so by honoring and respect somebody, it brings power in your life. And honoring God, it brings power in your life. And that's all about authority. Are we making sense today? This is so big. It is so big. So we're going to look at this word honor again, and we're going to look at this area of finances and honoring God. So I want you to go with me to our foundational scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 30. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed or disdained. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing in our hearts. Lord, we know you're doing a work in the hearts of your people. We thank you, Father, for this place. We thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here. We ask, Lord, that you prepare our hearts and minds to receive your word today. And Lord, because we're in your presence, that we will never be the same. Lord, your word endures forever. So Lord, plant that enduring word within each of us, and that we'll never be the same. Father, if there's someone here today that doesn't know you, Lord, that they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, we thank you for what you're going to do here today. And we're going to give you all the praise and all the glory in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Okay, you may be seated. So, this word honor and honoring authority, and we looked at last week, church authorities, and remember we talked about in 1 Timothy 5:19 that if anyone receives an accusation against an elder, and he must have two or three witnesses, right? Remember I told you somebody came up and told me something negative about my pastor, and it affected me, and it affected my whole family, because I had this jaded view of him, and I began to look at him in a very suspicious way, and so it affected the way I received from him. And see, that's what history has done. In the church, the media and all has taken certain few that morally or, you know, some did some type of a financial, they've lived some type of a lifestyle that was, you know, way out there. And they've taken that and it's affected the way we see leaders in the church. And that's the idea. We've got to clear that vision. All leaders in the church are not up to something. And they're not out to do you wrong. They're out to help you. You see that? Not all of them are out. And this idea that, you know, how we view them is big. It's because if you can't honor them, then you can't receive from them. You see that? You can't receive from them. That's why when Jesus was in his hometown and it says that he could do no mighty works there, it was because a prophet was without honor in his hometown. And they said, this is the carpenter's boy. You know, he did this and he did that. Who does he think he is? Well, you see, they couldn't receive from him because they couldn't honor him. And that's why he couldn't do any miracles. He was restrained. Right? He could do them, but there was restraints there. Where did the restraints come from? The people. And so that's the way it is. Remember, I always tell you, God will send you what you need the most in a package you least expect. So it's so important that you keep this idea of honor in your heart and respect. Where does honor come from? Your heart. Now, in Proverbs 1:7, it says what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So, the word fear there means honor and respect. So, the honor and respect of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That word knowledge means knowing God. Knowing God. So, when we really have the fear of God, then we begin to really know Him. And He wants you to know Him in your finances, in your relationships, in your work ethics. He wants you to know Him in every area of your life. So this idea of honor comes from the fear of the Lord. It's a derivative. Thank you. It's a derivative of the fear of the Lord. You see this? This is so big. It is so big. That's why less than 4% of our generation today knows anything about the Bible and doesn't want to have to do with anything with church. Why? That's what we're passing on to them. But if we were honoring God and we were honoring people, they would want to be there. The number one reason why teenagers don't want to go to church is hypocrisy. You see that? That's this idea, you say all the right things, you do all, but you're really, in your heart, you're far from God. Right? Are you hearing this? People pick that up. That's religion. See, we resort to religion when we're ignorant. When we're ignorant. My people perish for their lack of knowledge, for their lack of knowing God. Whose people? His people. Perish means ongoing destruction. I'm living an ongoing destructive life because I'm really not getting to know God. That's what that's saying. And so the idea is we need to get to know Him and honor Him, right? And folks, then we're going to begin to experience all that He has for us. Is this making sense? So this idea of religion, young people want to be where they're welcomed, where they know they're loved and honored, right? I want to be where I know that I'm loved and honored. I want to be where I'm celebrated, not just tolerated, right? And that's the way it is. You want to be where people, you really feel they love you. And you know what, folks? When we really begin to honor one another and get this principle working and honoring God, people are going to want to be here. You see this? And then we can begin to really tap into the plan and purpose of God. It has to happen in the body. It can't happen being disconnected from the body because we're not created that way. We have to get this thing, we have to get this idea of honoring one another and honoring God in motion. And it comes from fearing God, our relationship with God. Don't you see this? See, one of the number one problems for divorce, you know what it is? Money. Money. If two people are really honoring God in the area of finances and they're honoring them in their marriage and they're both doing it, they're not going to get divorced. But they both have to be participating, right? We get more calls in this church about money and financial needs than anything, any calls. It's always about money. There is more divorce in the church, not just nationwide, than there is in the world. Because I'm telling you, it's rooted in this lack of not honoring and respecting and not understanding this wisdom that God has given to us. He says in 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That word mystery means truth being revealed, uncovered. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the truth being uncovered. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. Whose glory? He's talking about our glory now. That word glory means what God originated and intended your life to be. In other words, you have to tap into this wisdom if you want that glory to come out in your life. You see that? And honor and respect is God's wisdom. Are we making sense today? All right. Now, last week we talked about, remember, 1 Peter 3:7 from the New Living Translation. We talked about how men should, you know, honor their wives and, you know, you should prefer her above yourself, right? You should open the door for your wife or the one you're courting, right? Courting. You know, you should respect and honor her, guys, right? You should fill up her gas tank. Her fuel tank. They already got gas, right? Uh-oh! Uh-oh! We all got that, don't we? No, don't be telling me you don't now. Fuel tank, right? Fuel prices are going up, not gas prices, right? Gas is free, right? You got to have some fun with it. So husbands ought to be honoring their wives, preferring them over them, their own desires, vacate everything, laying down their lives for their wives. That's what it says in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his love in this, that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Right? We're to love our wives as Christ did the church. We're to lay down our lives for our wives. That's so big. See, that's wisdom that people don't get. Because you have to be in relationship with God to keep that going and maintain that. You can't do that on your own. That's big. Even while we're sinners. In other words, it's not based on how your wife's treating you. Not based on it if she don't feel like it. Right? Not based on if how she looks that day. Or what's that? You know, we've got to be real, don't we? PMS.
He said it again.
Yeah. And you know, they act a little different around that time, and you need to understand that, right? And so when you love them in that, you're laying down that's bringing honor to her and power. That makes her secure. She may be in a mood and just going all directions, but you just steady, consistent. You know what? That makes her feel secure, right? Even though the PMS thing is going. I'm not knocking you guys now. It's natural, right? It's a natural thing. What's it stand for? Putting up with men. I heard it stands for pretty mean sister. Mine's a little more accurate to putting up. Where's the U at in that? Oh yeah, we need to stop right now. But are you getting this, guys? You know, we're laughing, but I am really talking some serious stuff right now. Because when you begin to operate in this, it affects everything. Because you're the leader.
the spiritual leader in the home. Now look what it says. 1 Peter 3:7, the New Living Translation. I didn't read this to you yet, did I? Okay. In the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat her with understanding as you live together. She may be the weaker vessel, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Weaker vessel, you know, remember, that has to do with your physical strength. Not mentally or spiritually or any other way, it's just a physical strength. But she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. If you don't honor her as you should, your prayers will not be heard. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? Did you get that, men? Come on, say, I got it. You know, we need to stand up and take our position in who we are. Amen? All right. Now, we're going to move on. I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 9. Proverbs 3, 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Honor the Lord with your possessions. What's that? That's your stuff. You know, take care of it, right? Just take care of what God has blessed you with. That gives Him honor. And with the first fruits of all your increase. First fruits represents what? The tithe. Some of you have been taught that. It's the tithe. And when you honor God in this area, look what He says. So your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, He says, when you honor me in this area, your barns will be filled. What's your barns? Your cupboards, your checkbook, your fuel tank. What else? Your home, anywhere you store, you know, anything, it's going to be filled. Going to have plenty. And your vats will overflow with new wine. The new wine represents the presence of God. When you operate in this principle of first fruits and tithing, the presence of God, when your bills are paid and things are all, don't you notice? Boy, there's a peace about it. You know, it's not like domestic violence. You know what they say domestic violence is rooted in? Arguments over money. The majority of it is arguments over money. The root of it is money. Folks, listen to me. When we understand this and we begin to apply this principle in our life, there's a protection in it. There's a protection in it. Go with me to Malachi chapter 3. And while you're going there, I'm going to read from Haggai chapter 11. So go with me to Malachi chapter 3. And you can write Haggai. Is that right? Haggai 11. Verse 5 through 9. I'm going to read that, but go to Malachi chapter 3. Now listen, I'm going to read Haggai real quick. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider how things are going for you. You have planted much, but harvested little. You have food to eat, but not enough to fill you up. You have wine to drink, but not enough to satisfy your thirst. You have clothing to wear, but not enough to keep you warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Consider how things are going for you. You hoped for a rich harvest, but there were none, and they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Who blew it away? God did. He's speaking for God. He blew it away. Because my house lies in what? Ruins. Says the Lord Almighty. What's his house? The church. The body of Christ. Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord God Almighty, while you are all busy building your own fine houses. We can get so wrapped up in doing our own thing, and we miss out on what God is trying to get our attention in. And he's really trying to bless you if you just get a hold of these principles. Right? Am I making sense? Go Malachi chapter 3. Are you there? All right. Let's look at verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant. That's the Abrahamic covenant. In whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Now, talking about Jesus coming, the second time. This is talking about the second coming of the Lord. Remember the first time, the prophet Isaiah said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son has been given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and of his government and peace, and of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." You see, that's the kingdom of God. Talking about what Jesus was bringing to establish. Jesus was born to establish the kingdom of God. A whole nother economy. And that's exactly what we're preaching here, the kingdom of God. And it's a whole nother way to live. And so, as we're establishing it, Jesus is coming back to see if we've got it established. You see this? Where's the kingdom of God at? In us, right, Teresa? In us. Jesus said, don't look over there or back there, but the kingdom of God is within you. It's in you, right? But we're always looking somewhere else. That's like if you say your lights go out in your house and you drop your keys and you stumble around looking for them. Then you look out and there's the light on the street light and it's on and working and you say, well, I'm going to go out there. So you go out there and you're standing under the light looking for your keys. Somebody pulls up and says, hey, I need some help looking for my keys. They get out, they start helping you, and you're just out there under that light looking for those keys. He says, the guy who pulls up says, well, where'd you drop those keys? Well, I dropped them in the house. What are you looking for them out here for? Because the light's out here. No. They're in the house, right? We're always looking for answers and things outside of us. But you know where they are? You know where the keys are? They're within you and your relationship with God.
Did you get that? He said he's given us the keys to the kingdom. Every door will open when you get that key. Every answer you're looking for is found in the kingdom of God. That's why he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be what? Added unto you. Added unto. Jesus said, my kingdom, John 18:36, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom's not of this world. And that word world means cosmos. The word cosmos means the construction of things, the edifice of things, the props. That's not my kingdom. In other words, when you drive down the freeway, you see everything being built, and all this construction going on. Jesus is saying, that's not my kingdom. My kingdom's in you. And when you get it moving in your life, you're going to see things appear in your life. Am I making sense? And that's why we got to understand these principles. Now look at this. Look at this. Verse 6 of Malachi chapter 3. For I am the Lord, I do not change. So if he doesn't change, who has to change? We do. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances. Isn't that something? From the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances. That's his order of things. Less than 4% know anything about the Bible. You hear this? Think about this. And have not kept them. Now he says, return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. Notice he says, me. Who's me? God. Not the church. God. He says, you've robbed me. How? But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. In tithes and offerings. Folks, listen to me. God has established this economy for your well-being, for your financial well-being. And I'm telling you, until you get this principle working in your life, you're going to have financial problems. It's always going to be a problem. But when you, because see, this is a heart issue. Where's honor come from? A heart. Jesus said you can't worship God and mammon. You can't worship God and money. When you begin to operate this principle, it says to God where your heart is. You see that? It tells God where your heart is. No hypocrisy, no fake and phoniness in it. You see, now God can do something. We read it. If you honor God, God will honor you. Right? Now watch this. He says, if you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. That word rob is the word kema. And it's the Hebrew word. Now listen to what it means. It means to obscure, to cheat, or to defraud. It means to inflict bodily harm and physical injury. That's what rob means. That's what happens when you withhold a tithe. You inflict bodily harm and injury to the body of Christ. You see that? Because we should be flourishing. We should be flourishing, helping widows, right? This is all established to take care of the folks who minister in the body of Christ, the widows, the orphans. I'm going out to India to look at this orphanage, and you all are going to help support it. That's true religion, right? We're getting rid of hypocrisy. Am I making sense? So, folks, when we begin to operate in this principle, guess who benefits? You do. And that's not the reason you do it. You do it because you love God. Right? Now, look at this. Look what he says next.
Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse. Why? For you have robbed me even in the whole nation. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. What's the storehouse? Storehouse is the church. It's the church. He says, bring it there. Bring it there. That's where you're being fed. The storehouse is, say like if you have pockets full of money and you go to sleep at night and you end up and you wake up in Beijing, China. And you go to try to spend your money in Beijing, China. You're not going to be able to buy anything, are you? You're going to have to go to the bank and to the currency exchange department, right? And when you go to the currency exchange department, they'll exchange your money for their money, and then you can go buy. Well, that's what the church is. It's the currency exchange. You can do a lot more when God is in it and on it, and get a lot more accomplished when God is on it, when you come to the storehouse and exchanged it. Am I making sense? That's the storehouse. Now think about this. Are you ready? And try me now. Try me. He says, try me. Nowhere else in the Bible does God say, try me. Nowhere else. That's the only place you ever find God saying, try me. Prove me to see if I won't do what I'm saying I'm going to do. He says, try me in this. And says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. He said he's going to open the windows of heaven. What do you do in windows? You see. Vision. God gives you vision. When you operate in this principle, you begin to see things you haven't seen before. You see this. That's the idea. God wants to get things to you, but we stop it by not putting the principle in place. Right? He's all about principles. Precept upon precept, right? It's got to be His way, and He's established it. He says, you're cursed with a curse when you've robbed Him. Now look at this. This word, cursed, is one of the words, the Hebrew word is era, E-R-R-A, era. It means to execrate. That's the opposite of consecrate. God's people are to be consecrated, set apart for Him. This means to execrate. This gets you outside of God. You see this? Execrate. And this is what it means, to call down evil upon, to lump together with everything. When you withhold the tithe, you're bringing evil into your financial area of your life. And you're bringing confusion to lump together with everything. And it also means the word morai. And that word means to disregard or to abhor. And it means, where we get the word mortician and mortuary. So you're handling dead things when you withhold the tithe. Am I making sense? Don't you see why this area we've got to step it up in this area? Things are changing. Things are changing. Everywhere you go, you hear about fuel prices going up. We got a call from Peggy and Bob Kinson in Germany. Fuel prices are $11.56 a gallon. I heard a minister here not long ago at the Living Word Church, and he came from Africa, and $14 and something a gallon. $500-some to fill up his pickup truck. And we're complaining. Better stop it. Better stop it. Don't let that come out of your mouth. Do all things without murmuring and complaining, right? How many things? All things without murmuring and complaining, that you may be found blameless and children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. among whom you will shine as lights in this world. Folks, we don't have nothing to complain about. I'm going to tell you what. This principle protects your mind from anxiety and worry. You're not going to pull up to, you're not even going to worry. When you've got this principle in place, you're going to try him, and he's going to make sure your tank's going to be full. You see this? You're not going to be all worried about it. But now you put it on God.
Oh.
Don't you like that? That's the way he wants it. He wants you dependent on him. I'll tell you what. This is nothing but the truth. This is the voice of truth speaking up in here today. Are we hearing it? If we don't hear this and put this in place, it's going to get worse, folks. Things are changing. I know people that operate under this principle and their businesses are flourishing. Churches. Churches that are growing and healthy and lives are being restored. Things are, this principle is in place. For churches, you go there, 5 to 10, 20 people, this principle's not in place. Am I making sense today? Time we got. Boy, we're out of time, aren't we? Sure is quiet in this Presbyterian church. Don't we need this? You know what? If you're sitting there thinking, he's talking about money again, you've got a problem. You need to repent. God don't need, I don't need your money. God don't need your money. Right? You need your money. When you begin to operate in this benefits you. We're trying to help you. This makes sense. You still love me? Don't be.
Well. I better hush.
You know what? We're going to have to close because we are out of time. But I got some more for you. All right? You know what? This is good stuff. Get a hold of this. Get a hold of this. It's for your protection. It's for your protection.